100 years ago today, a German submarine, a U-boat, fired a torpedo that sank the Lusitania just off the coast of Ireland. The ship was a British-owned ocean liner. 1,198 civilians on board were killed. World War I had begun the summer before, but in the spring of 1915, as historian Diana Preston writes, a new chapter in the very nature of warfare was being written. In late April of that year, the Germans had used poison gas on a battlefield in Belgium. 6 weeks later, at the end of May, German airships, Zeppelins, began bombing civilian targets in and around London. Diana Preston's new book is called A Higher Form of Killing, and she joins us in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Why was it that these three technologically advanced methods of killing people were all used by Imperial Germany in the same six-week period? What was going on?
The reason was the stalemate that had been reached by this relatively early stage in the First World War. Initially, in 1914, Germany's armies had advanced quickly, but had then, towards the end of that year, been held back. So by spring 1915, both sides dug into a line of trenches, some 450 miles long, stretching from Switzerland to the North Sea. So it's at that stage we have Germany turning to new technologies, new weapons, to try and unblock that situation and to regain the initiative.
As you write in your book, the years before the First World War witnessed various attempts to control the arms race in Europe, to declare some kinds of warfare illegal. How did the men who decided to use either poison gas or torpedo civilian craft or bomb civilian neighborhoods, how did they rationalize what they were doing?
You're exactly right about all those conferences before the First World War. All of that just pushed aside in 1915, I think on the basis that the end justified the means. We know that in the very early stages of the war, the German Chancellor von Bethmann-Hollweg got to his feet in the Reichstag and said to his assembled colleagues, look, I know that what we're doing in invading Belgium is illegal, We're violating Belgian neutrality, but you will see it will all be all right in the end because we will achieve a quick victory and it will all have been for the best. That argument applied again and again as we move through the spring of 1915 and we see these ferocious new weapons being unleashed.
Of course, in addition to alleging war crimes on the part of the Germans, the English and the French, for that matter, looked at their use of poison gas and said, we'd better develop poison gas too, and we'd better use it the same way they're using it.
Yes, I mean, that's again exactly what happened in spring of 1915. You have the real lid of a Pandora's box being opened.
Segment 1.
100 years ago today, a German submarine, a U-boat, fired a torpedo that sank the Lusitania just off the coast of Ireland. The ship was a British-owned ocean liner. 1,198 civilians on board were killed. World War I had begun the summer before, but in the spring of 1915, as historian Diana Preston writes, a new chapter in the very nature of warfare was being written. In late April of that year, the Germans had used poison gas on a battlefield in Belgium. 6 weeks later, at the end of May, German airships, Zeppelins, began bombing civilian targets in and around London. Diana Preston's new book is called A Higher Form of Killing, and she joins us in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Segment 2.
Why was it that these three technologically advanced methods of killing people were all used by Imperial Germany in the same six-week period? What was going on?
The reason was the stalemate that had been reached by this relatively early stage in the First World War. Initially, in 1914, Germany's armies had advanced quickly, but had then, towards the end of that year, been held back. So by spring 1915, both sides dug into a line of trenches, some 450 miles long, stretching from Switzerland to the North Sea. So it's at that stage we have Germany turning to new technologies, new weapons, to try and unblock that situation and to regain the initiative.
Segment 3.
As you write in your book, the years before the First World War witnessed various attempts to control the arms race in Europe, to declare some kinds of warfare illegal. How did the men who decided to use either poison gas or torpedo civilian craft or bomb civilian neighborhoods, how did they rationalize what they were doing?
You're exactly right about all those conferences before the First World War. all of that just pushed aside in 1915, I think on the basis that the end justified the means.
Segment 4.
We know that in the very early stages of the war, the German Chancellor, von Bethmann-Hollweg, got to his feet in the Reichstag and said to his assembled colleagues, look, I know that what we're doing in invading Belgium is illegal, mm-hmm. we're violating Belgian neutrality, but you will see it will all be all right in the end because we will achieve a quick victory and it will all have been for the best. That argument applied again and again as we move through the spring of 1915 and we see these ferocious new weapons being unleashed.
Of course, in addition to alleging war crimes on the part of the Germans, the English, and the French for that matter, looked at their use of poison gas and said, we'd better develop poison gas too, and we'd better use it the same way they're using it.
Yes, I mean, that's again exactly what happened in spring of 1915. You have the real lid of a Pandora's box being opened.